Good morning, church. My name is Matt Ryan. Today, it's my honor to bring you the Lord's Supper. For those of you who don't know me, in 2019, my wife Lisa and I, my two sons Brett and Blake, moved here from Chicago Church, where we attended for 28 years. We got to know the Lefflers there. Kurt and Julie Johnson was our first disciples there. So this is definitely another home for us. Before we pray, would you do the communion? You please pray with me? Heavenly Father, please bless this time of communion with your Son Jesus through your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you will use this time to deepen our understanding of your love for us. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So last week I was out of town. I was in Chicago. I got a text from Jim telling me, hey, I might want to listen to last week's message from Mike Lucas because we are using the same scriptures. And so it's a funny thing, but this will be a little different angle. So hopefully, you know, it'll work out well. All right, so about 5 or 10 years ago, I was at a men's group. Can I raise this somehow?
Yes.
Do I just pull? Hey, okay. I was in a men's group in Chicago about 5 or 10 years ago, and what we were doing in the group was sharing our personal communion experience with each other. There were a lot of different takes on that. Some of the versions shared by the men focused on their sin and guilt as they approached the cross. Some focused more on the death of Jesus, while others more on the resurrection. Some approached the cross confidently, while others approached uncertain or even a little bit scared. There was a wide variety of scenarios, and I'm guessing a lot of these scenarios exist in the room today. I'd like to share some scriptures and a couple thoughts. Hopefully it'll help you. I know it helped me. You know, each man shared his communion experience. They shared their view of God and Jesus at the time of communion. But today I want to share God and Jesus' view of you at the time of communion. Now, please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Starting in verse 1. Says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, there's a lot in that scripture there. But today I want to focus on the portion in verse 2 that says, for the joy set before him. The scripture says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Have you ever wondered what that joy was? What joy would be worth going to the cross? Further down at the bottom of the verse, part of it had to be sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. But I think there's something more there for us if we take a closer look. Please turn your Bibles to the account of the crucifixion in Luke 23, starting in verse 39.
Come on, bro.
Thanks, bro. I think we all know about the crucifixion. Jesus in the middle, the thieves on his right and his left. In verse 39, it says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us, he said. Can you imagine at this moment what Jesus was going through? What was in his mind? He is hanging on the cross and he is being mocked like this right to the last minute, spit in his face in his death. Jesus had been deserted by his followers, even denied knowing him. He had just been beaten and sentenced to death because of the betrayal of a close friend. I mean, think about that. And now he's laying his life down, carrying the sins of the world for all mankind. And here's a man right next to him, spitting in his face in his final hour. I don't know about you, but I think that would overcome and discourage and break me. But now look in Luke 23, verse 40 through 43. It says, "But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since we are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" I think we read this far too quickly. I don't think we focus on this moment enough. This was an extremely special moment. I believe that this was Jesus' first taste of the joy set before him. I believe that God the Father was encouraging Jesus in his darkest hour, showing him the first fruits of his sacrifice. God let him see, yes, it is worth it. Then Jesus answered, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." In Luke 15:10, it also says, "In the same way, I tell you, there is more rejoicing in heaven in the presence of angel and God over one sinner who repents." You know, when we humbly draw near to God, it arouses rejoicing in heaven. They all are celebrating Jesus' victory over sin and the power of death. I think this was actually the bigger part of the joy set before Jesus. And all of us that are that one sinner. And God's deepest desire is to make you and me sinless and clean. When we take communion, we turn to God and we too acknowledge Jesus has done nothing deserving death. He is the sinless one, the Messiah, who takes away the sins of the world. So now, because of Jesus' great plan for our redemption, when you come to Jesus, humble and repentant, remember that you are part of that joy that was set before him. You, each one of you, were worth dying for in Jesus' eyes. Your faith is part of the joy set before Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your grace, your mercy, and your love, which you demonstrated through your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for being the sinless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Thank you, Lord God, that we can be included in the celebration in heaven through faith in Jesus. As we take this bread, which represents Jesus' body, and the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Father God, we love you. We praise you for first loving us. And it is in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.